Unless action is taken over the next decade or so, nearly 70 million more women and girls could be subjected to female genital mutilation, a practice the United Nations Secretary General has described as a gross violation of their human rights. I'm Deanne Penn at UN headquarters in New York, and welcome to the UN Gender Focus podcast. Okay, now if that name sounds familiar, you're not mistaken. That's because we, that's the team here at UN News, used to produce a weekly radio broadcast under that same name. But it's 2018, and a new year means new beginnings, so we are switching UN Gender Focus into a bi-monthly podcast. For this first episode, we'll be looking at the issue of female genital mutilation, or cutting, as it's also known. The UN estimates that as many as 200 million girls and women in 30 countries worldwide have been subjected to it. Here's the Secretary General's envoy on youth, Jayathma Wickramanayake, speaking in The Gambia ahead of the International Day of Zero Tolerance to Female Genital Mutilation, observed on the 6th of February.
Female genital mutilation is not only harming girls and women in a physical way, but is also depriving them of their human rights, their right to bodily integrity, to health, to self-actualization, their right to have a say on decisions that affect their lives. It derails millions of girls and women in achieving their full potential. This is not acceptable that this is done in the name of tradition, culture, or sometimes religion, or in the name of ensuring that women are to take on subservient roles to the men they will eventually marry. This is not acceptable in 21st century.
So, what exactly is female genital mutilation, or FGM? And if it's so harmful, why is it still taking place? To find out more, I sat down with Nafissatou Diop of the UN Population Fund, UNFPA. She's the coordinator of a program run jointly with the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, that's working to eliminate FGM. It's the largest initiative of its kind in the world.
Female genital mutilation actually is a practice. It's a kind of surgery that is done for cultural reason to girls and women, and it consists in different types. So, to make it short, it consists in either cutting part of the clitoris or the labia minora, or also sewing the labia majora of the girl, and just for actually sometimes religious reason, but also sometimes and most of the time for cultural reason. So people who are practicing it, most of the time they are doing it because that was done for years, for centuries, and from some of the information that we have, that this practice is coming from Egypt and Pharaoh, who used to have a lot of women. And we need to keep in mind that the root cause of this practice is the control of the sexuality of the girl. So by doing this cutting or sewing or closing the genitalia of the girl, it is a way to ensure her virginity. It is a way to ensure her fidelity. It is a way to control, her sexuality and be able for her to contribute to the reproduction of the family and the community without any what they may call external interference.
And, of course, it's a practice that can be found throughout the world.
Yes.
Is there any particular region or any particular part of the world that it's of concern for you as UNFPA and UNICEF?
Yes. First of all, I need to say that there is 29 countries in Africa where the practice is common. Having said so, it's different because in some countries you may have 98% of women that went through the practice. It means like 9 out of 10 women went through the practice of FGM. In other countries, it may be 2% at a national level. But then when you look at ethnicity and the ethnic group, so in the same country, you may have an ethnic group who is practicing FGM and another one who is not practicing. So that is quite interesting also, and we are really looking at that very carefully to understand why this may happen. So we do have data for those 29 countries in Africa, because basically there is regular, every 5 years, household surveys that are conducted to, you know, part of, you know, the development and the agenda that was the MDGs before. Now it's the SDGs.
You know? Sorry, you're using these acronyms. Okay. So people may not be familiar.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the UN, the UN member state that actually every 15 years are setting goals, development goals. And one of those currently is, you know, eliminating female genital mutilation. We have surveys running every 5 years to look at different issues, not only FGM, but family planning, child mortality, maternal mortality, etc. So part of it, we have those data for those countries. However, what we do know is that this is practiced in a lot of other places in the world. Indonesia, Malaysia, Sri Lanka, India, Georgia, Russia, Colombia. So, and then because of migration today, I mean, the world is, you know, it's there is no boundaries and people are moving and traveling and all. So they are moving and traveling with this, the practice and the culture. And so we have in Europe, in the US, Australia, and everywhere, you know, also people continue to practice FGM.
And earlier you referred to it as a surgery. And of course, because of the cutting it is, but it's not a medical surgery, is it?
Or no, it is not. Thank you. I was trying to use simple language. So basically it is a practice, you know, and a surgery that is done by traditional practitioner. So in most of these countries, you have some specialized traditional, you know, people. It may be women, it may be men, who are, you know, known as, you know, being cutters or excisers. So there is different terminology for them. And they're living out of that. Of course, they're living out of other things, but they're living out of this practice, and they have that reputation of being able to do FGM to girls in a safer way, etc. So this is the most common one. But however, we have seen over the past 15, 20 years that medical professionals were starting to also practice FGM on girls. And this was due because of the first campaign that was started, particularly with civil society organization, 20 years, 30 years ago, put a lot of emphasis on the health consequences of FGM, saying that, you know, the girls may bleed, the girl may die, the girl may, have a lot of other consequences like scars and keloids and all those things. And so the reaction from the communities were, okay, this is the case. We are not going to do it traditionally anymore. However, we are going to do it within health facilities. So they start calling midwives and doctors. And unfortunately, those people answer and positively. And so we have some countries like Egypt, where most of the girls are cut by a medical doctor. And this is a serious, serious problem for us. In a country like Indonesia, this is offered as a package of service for the newborn girl. So as a piercing of the ears, there is also, FGM that is proposed to the family, part of a package. So this needs to stop because it's legitimized FGM. And we are working very strongly with WHO and some other professional association to make sure that, the ethics and the oaths of Hippocrates and all will be respected.
And of course, your program, the joint UNICEF and UNFPA program, is working to help stamp out this issue. Tell us, where are we now in terms of this? And in line with what you mentioned, the Sustainable Development Goals,
yes,
which have a deadline of 2030.
Yes, thank you so much. So basically, we are, first of all, we are addressing 200 million women and girls that went through the practice already. So they definitely need also support. Some of them may need psychological support. Some of them may need medical care to reduce the potential consequences, particularly when they're going to give birth, when it's the A married girl, when she gets married and start her reproductive life, she needs to be protected to make sure that she will be safe when she will deliver babies and all, and have a sexual life also, which is satisfying. Then we do have now the latest data from UNFPA show that from 2015 to 2030, if we do not accelerate our effort to address this issue, 68 million girls will age from 0 to 14 years old will go through the practice. So we have that 68 million, which may come in addition to the 200 million who are already living. So it's a huge number. However, we do know that we are making a lot of progress, because there is today the prevalence rate in a lot of countries is dropping. The UN is working hard with government, civil society organization, networks of youth, traditional leaders, religious leaders, and all, to really make it happen and have everybody say no to female genital mutilation, and this need to stop, because we need our girls, you know, who are safe, our girls who are in health, and our girls who can fulfill all their potential.
That was Nafissatou Diop of the UN Population Fund, UNFPA, speaking to me, Deanne Penn, for this first edition of the UN Gender Focus podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be bringing you another edition later in the month.